Well, what I was going to remind the children, but you'll just get to hear it twice. Today, we're focusing on the relationship of having a healthy relationship between children and their parents and parents and their children. And so we're going to focus on the fifth commandment. What I wanted to tell the kids was the fifth commandment is the first commandment that has a blessing that goes with it. A blessing that can bless your entire life, even promising to help you live longer. Now, how many of you want to live longer? There's all kinds of things that are trying to see that fountain of youth. But if you want to live longer, then you will honor your parents. Honor your father and your mother. Not just when you're kids, but for the rest of your life. And many of you here have lived that. Honoring your father and your mother till the day that Jesus comes to take them to his kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for our children and our parents in our church, those who are by blood and those who are in the spirit. Lord, we thank you for all the people who are spiritual parents and are spiritual children. We pray that you would help us to honor our parents, both our blood parents and our spiritual parents. And Lord, that you would also help us as parents to not exasperate or discourage or be harsh with our children. Thank you, Jesus, for your example of obeying your earthly parents and especially your Father in heaven, for you came to do his will and not your own. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture reading today is from Exodus 20, verse 12, and Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, and then remain standing for the Apostles' Creed. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God. You may be seated. Will you please join me as we confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it's great to be here with you today. It's always great to come and worship together as a spiritual family here at Alpha United Methodist Church. So today I'm going to take a crack at something I haven't really preached on very much because, well, I'm still kind of a young pup in this. I've been married for 10 years to Julia, and now I've been a parent for going on 6 years. And this is going to be my attempt to share a little bit of wisdom God's been teaching me about the relationship, because we're in a new series on relationships called Relationships 101 that Jared Pomeroy and I came up with, but it was mostly Jared. He'll be back next Sunday and the Sunday afterwards to preach for you again. But this is about how we can have a healthy relationship in our homes, and in that relationship, in particularly with children and their parents and parents with their children. I figured to talk about the sibling rivalries and things like that would make today go on too long. So today we're going to talk about children and their parents and parents and their children. And so as Dale just read for us, we read, go back to Exodus 20, 12. Let's say that together. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. That's not an arbitrary command. It's not a just because I said so kind of a command. There's a purpose behind this commandment. It's kind of the hinge for the first half of the Ten Commandments and the next half. They're all kind of tied out into this. That if we're going to honor God as the only God and have no other gods before Him, if we're going to keep His name holy and not take it in vain, if we're going to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy and follow His example for us, we also are going to honor our father and our mother that God has given us. Because you don't get to pick your mother and father when you're born. You have been a gift given from God to them to care for, to love you, to cherish you, to protect you, and to raise you up with discipline so that you can share in the holiness of God like they do. And so there's that blessing. It has a purpose. Whatever we see, so that. It always gets our attention in Scripture. So it's the so that is your days may be long. Not short, but long. Now, growing up, our parents might have given us some long, hard days, right? We might have had a lot of chores to do. Might have had a lot of late nights from them taking us to ball games and different things like that. But it's so that our days may be long. Not just having long, not like just having long work days, so to speak, but that our days, our life will be lengthened. That we'll live on into old age and into our wisdom because of all the wisdom that they've passed on and shared with us. So that your days, my days, our days may be long in the land, the promised land that the Lord your God is giving you. See, God made this commandment because He promised, because He's our good Father. He wanted to provide His children in Israel. The people that He called out who weren't a people, and He adopted to be His spiritual children. To be a holy nation, to be a blessing to all nations one day. Through their descendants, through their generations, that would be as numerous as the sands on the sea and the stars in the sky, He told to Abraham. See, God wanted to bless the world through families, through His family. He wanted to give us that promised land, that place of peace and rest. The land that would represent His Sabbath for us, where He reigns and sits on the throne over all creation. And everything is at peace and shalom. So God gave us that commandment so that we could live long, full, prosperous, healthy lives. Lives that would continue to have a legacy long after we're gone. Because we are to honor our father and mother so that our days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And as we raise our children, let's go back to that verse in Ephesians 6 that Dale read for us. Here's the other side to it. Let's say this together. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So that we may live long on the earth. So as we obey our parents from childhood and even as we are adults, we might not want to, but sometimes our parents or our spiritual parents, the people that watch over us and guide us with their wisdom and their love, they still might want to help us out when we don't want help. But if we can receive the grace that they want to show us or their mercy or their tenderness or sometimes their tough love, we might live even longer and have more wisdom to live by. We might have more wisdom and love and discipline to share with our children and that they would share with their children. Because when God made that the Ten Commandments and He made that covenant with the Israelites through Moses in the wilderness, He told them that if you break the covenant, the sins will be visited on your children, from the fathers to their children, to the third, to the fourth generations. But for those who are faithful, God will be faithful to them for 1,000 generations. God's plan is that we would live long and prosperous lives, leaving a legacy of His love and his provision and his wisdom. And for us as followers of Jesus, we don't just leave behind wisdom and discipline. We leave behind our faith. The best place that we learn to make disciples is in our homes. Amen? We live out our faith every day. We teach our children to pray. We read them scripture. We bring them with us to church or our grandchildren. Or if we see our children as adult children, maybe you take and you call them and you ask them when they're having a hard time. Can I pray with you? Have you been in the Word? Are you still going to church? Is there anyone you need to forgive to let this weight go? Give your burdens to God. He cares about you. Cast all your anxieties to God because He cares for you. And I thank God for, at least in my life, I have had godly parents. And they still help me out when I'm in over my head. And I continue to learn wisdom and strength from them. And I'm kind of going through that point in my life now because I'm 35. Where, you know, you find yourself in life and it's like, man, I'm just like my parents. You didn't plan it. You just are. You find yourself kind of repeating some of maybe the decisions or things that they've made. I see that in my life because I moved around a lot. And my dad always had different jobs working in the shoe business. And he would work at different malls around the state. And so we would just move quite a bit as a kid. One year I went to 3 different third grades. And I look back on that. And now as a United Methodist pastor, I know that someday I'm going to probably move again. Because that's how it works in this system. And even when we moved here, it's like, I'm not going to be in the same place for my whole life. I'm going to be itinerant. I'm going to be moving. And so I see now that I'm going to be taking my kids through that. And those experiences, while they weren't always fun, they built character for me. They helped me learn how to have courage and to put myself out there and to meet new people. And to try to make friends and see the best in people. And so I hope to pass on that kind of wisdom to my kids. And one of the things that was always a good thing for me, wherever we moved, we were always in a United Methodist church. And even if it was a different building or something, it was always kind of that same sense of spiritual family. We always felt safe and welcome. So I thank my parents for that. And I want to honor them by teaching my kids the faith as well. And I want to thank you for the ways that you've poured your faith into my children as well. But we're to honor our father and mother because it has a promise so that it may be well with us. Not just to live a life, but to live a life abundant. Jesus came that we would have abundant life and have it to the fullest. Amen? If we abide in him. He's the vine, we're the branches. His father is the gardener who prunes the branches and cuts down the trees that don't bear fruit. He disciplines us so that we can share in his holiness. Amen? Same with our parents. And so, honoring your father and mother, so that we will be well with you and we live long on the earth. As I was preparing for this message, I was really inspired by some of the people that I've observed in our church, and more recently, in particular, especially, of spending time on the phone and now recently in person, just listening to the testimony of Abby Rutledge. Abby's 34 years old, and she has lived out that command of honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. In the biblical times, that command wasn't just to do what your parents told you. You had a responsibility to care for your parents into their old age and to be there with them to the day that they died, so that you would receive their blessing from God for you to pass on, and you would receive that promised inheritance, that the covenant land and the household would stay in the family. And I see the way that she's 34 years old and she's already had to go through all those things of power of attorney and hospice and be there with her parents both times when they passed. You know, I know many people my age who would run away from that kind of responsibility. And I think about people here in our church who've walked down that road. Barb, you went through that this year where you were there. You and your siblings were there for your family and you honored them and they blessed you. You never took your parents for granted. And so I was inspired by that. It made me want to be a better son to my parents. And to not take that time we have with our parents for granted. But I can't think of better people who've lived that out to the very end. Who were there to give them to Jesus. And I pray and I know that God's promise will be true, that it will go well with you, that you may live long in the land that God has given you. Now let's go to that last verse in verse 4. It says fathers, but this is mothers and fathers. Let's say this together. And fathers, mothers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It's not easy to be a parent. Whether you're a biological parent or an adopted parent or a spiritual parent, you're discipling someone. And no matter how much we love someone, sometimes it can be stressful to be a parent. I mean, it is stressful to be a parent. And the enemy tempts us to... It's kind of like we have stress in our lives or at work or things are out of our control. And it's like the one place where we kind of let off some steam or we project some of our anxiety. It happens with our kids sometimes. Come home after a hard day and maybe they don't pick up their toys or something like that. Or maybe they backtalk or something. And you just find yourself, you're like a different person in that moment when you have that anger. At least I do. I pray for God to help give me that Holy Spirit of self-control with my kids. And I think about those times where my parents, sometimes it'd be hard to have self-control. But they would always tell me they loved me when they disciplined me. And I might have exasperated them, but they did their best to not exasperate me. Even when I made decisions they didn't agree with. Even when I lived as a prodigal son as a young adult. And probably brought some shame to our family by some of my decisions I had made. But then God brought me back into the fold. I'm thankful for my parents because they love me and they always would encourage me and support me no matter what, even if they disagreed with it. But they would always remind me about what God's word would say or how they could pray for me. So that's a tough command, but fathers, mothers, don't exasperate your children. And we live in an age where maybe parents might not be so much to exasperate their children, but they kind of like, at least my generation, helicopter parents, right? They try to like wrap their kids in bubble wrap, so to speak, and protect them from everything. And I see this thing that happens, and I felt the temptation to it. It's called paternalism. Paternalism is when you do something for someone that they can do for themselves. And over time, that becomes a disempowering thing. I learned that lesson through benevolence ministry, through where you try to help the poor, and the temptation is to, when they feel helpless, just to try to do everything for them or do things to them. But I've learned that in ministry to the poor, we need to work with people and to let them take responsibility for what's theirs. And they might fail, but we need to empower people who feel powerless. In the same way with our children, we need to make sure that we don't exasperate them by making them feel powerless, by doing everything for them. Sometimes my kids will be like, well, Daddy, I can do it. They're doing it wrong, and I just want to rush in and do it for them. But I need to let them make their own mistakes. Sometimes God lets us do this, right? He doesn't stop us sometimes from doing dumb things. He might prick our conscience. The Holy Spirit or others might speak to us, or God's word might speak to us, but we give in to that temptation, and then we get burned. And God lets us get burned sometimes. He lets us suffer the consequences of our actions. But he had a plan, and he sent Jesus to save us. That while we were yet sinners, while we continued to be obstinate, like rebellious children in our sin, God proved his love for us. He sent his son to die for us. Amen? That proves his love for us. To not just discipline us, but to teach us the discipline of holiness by giving us an example to follow in Jesus. And someone who would come and walk with us through everything, so that everything he calls us to in our lives as disciples, as his children, he's walked that for us. He's set that holy example for us. Amen? Amen. And so, as I was preparing for today, these are simple commands, but they're not easy. And one of the blocks for us in honoring our parents, maybe when they haven't been honorable to us, or maybe they've made us feel ashamed or guilty, or they've walked away from the faith, or they've disappointed us, or they've been codependent maybe, or they're caught in addictions that have caused harm to other people, and likewise with our children. The biggest block in our lives to restoring that honor is when we have unforgiveness. When we continue to try to impose our will on them in their lives for them to change the way we think they can change, or even the way that we think God's word says they should be. But when we forgive others, even our parents or our children, which is hard. It's hard when you love someone and you've trusted them and they've rejected or they've spurned that trust or they've exploited it. Or maybe they've hurt you. And when we forgive people in our lives who've hurt us, it doesn't mean that we make ourselves vulnerable to the point where they're going to hurt us again. But when we forgive them, we let go, we surrender our will for them, and we give them over to God's will. And we surrender our will to God, and we ask for His will for us as well. Remember, Jesus came to take our heads out, right? When we forgive others, Jesus unshackles the shackle around our neck and the shackle around their neck. Those soul ties that have been tainted by sin or addiction or pain or trauma. And Jesus comes to bring His healing. And our God is a good Father. He does not seek to exasperate us as His children. And Jesus tells us that if we ask for anything in His name, our Father in heaven is willing to give us what we need if we would just ask Him. So why don't we just take a moment right now and ask our Father in heaven to give us what we need, to give us strength to forgive, to give us peace, to give us healing from the things of our past, to remind us that we are always His children, to give us good memories of our parents when they've been godly to us, or our spiritual parents when they've been godly to us, and how God showed His love for us through them, and to be thankful for the ways that we show that love, and to help us to be better parents, to continue to honor our parents, but to continue to also not exasperate our children, and to raise them up in the ways of the Lord with discipline and with love that they might share in His holiness. So God, thank You for our families. That's the way You chose to build Your church, through the generations. May we be a blessing to all nations through our families, and for our children and their children, as You pass on the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, faith in Jesus Christ, and help us to be like You, Jesus, and to show the love of the Father to our children that they can show to their children. Thank You for our parents. In Jesus' name, amen.